Luke chapter 11, verse 5. I want to look at this passage again and focus on one of the words that's emphasized in this passage. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 and following as we continue our study of prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 and says, "He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his," notice the word here, "importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent, a snake? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Now, there's from time to time you'll be reading the Bible or you'll be studying the Bible and you'll come across a word that seems hard to understand. It's not necessarily the fact that it's a hard word to understand, it's just that we don't use it commonly anymore in our modern day. We don't need a new Bible, we need an understanding of the English language again, even as we understand the words in the King James Bible. You might need a good dictionary, and I have one I can recommend for you if you would like to have one. Sometimes we need a good dictionary to understand the English language. I want you to notice again that word importunity. I looked up that word and tried to get an idea exactly as far as giving a definition. I want you to listen carefully to this definition of importunity. Again, this is a word that we don't commonly use. And again, we think we know some of these words in the Bible. Sometimes it's helpful to make sure we fully understand them. An importunity is a pressing solicitation, urgent request, or an application for a claim or favor, which is urged with troublesome frequency. I'm going to say that again because I believe it's very helpful to understand this. It's a pressing solicitation, an urgent request, and an application for a claim or favor, which is urged with, here's the phrase I want for us to focus on tonight, a troublesome frequency. So let me ask you, how long has it been since we've troubled God with our requests? One author that I read in relation to the word importunity said this: it's the ability to hold on, press on, and wait. I want you to consider here is this idea of importunity. In verse 5, first of all, you notice importunity, the importunity in prayer, first of all, is a request based on friendship. Notice it says in verse 5, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a," notice this, "a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. I want you to notice here Genesis chapter 18. Hold your place there. We're coming back. Genesis chapter 18. The Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. And I want you to consider here that as we look at this passage, Abraham, as the friend of God, made requests based on friendship. And I want you to consider here that when we are distant from God, then the opportunity to have importunity in our prayers is next to none. So you think about the importance of friendship with God in order to go before him with troublesome frequency. So again, you notice here as far as Abraham, Genesis chapter 18, verse 16 and following. "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And now you notice their friendship. God shows his friends things in the Bible that others don't see. Now, that doesn't mean that there's new revelations. I'm not saying that. I want you to consider, until we have a friendship with God, there's things that we will not fully see and understand as far as Scripture is concerned. So again, the emphasis there on friendship, so that God can show us the things he wants us to know. It says in verse 18, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him, fulfill the promises that he's made for Abraham. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now. By the way, that puts a perspective on the way America is heading with some of this. Notice God's estimation of this. That's what he's saying here. The Lord said, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grievous. We're not talking about the sin of not being hospitable in the market, in the streets. That's not the sin that's found in Genesis 19. You know, it says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now, this is what I want you to see. That gives us the context. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? So as he's thinking about what's happening here and understanding that Lot and his family is down there, all of a sudden he's concerned here. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? So here's a city, from what we understand, a pretty good sized city. And Abraham is thinking, you know, 50. Well, we're going to see here, it says, maybe I should lower my number a little bit there. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. That the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now, the Lord already knows what he's planning to do, but I want you to consider he's willing to listen to what Abraham has to say. Again, this is based on friendship. The friend of God, that's what the Bible calls Abraham. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? So if you find 45, will you still destroy it? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And again, as you understand this, Abraham's thinking, okay, Lot's family, wow, maybe 50 is a little too much. Ooh, wow, maybe 40's too much. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. I want you to notice here, he's coming before the Lord in humility, but yet he still has boldness here. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. And I want you to notice there's not all capital letters. That's Adonai, Master. I'm speaking to the Master. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10. Notice here, all of a sudden he's down to 10. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. That's going to be a pretty sad day when we can only find 10 righteous people in a city here in America. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. Notice, he had left communing with Abraham. That speaks of friendship. And Abraham returned unto his place. But I want you to consider here the friendship that was the basis of Abraham asking these requests. Now, back in Luke chapter 11, I want you to notice again, he's addressing a friend. So he's asking this request to a friend. So again, we must ask ourselves, how's our friendship with God? Could God say of us, there's my friend? And I want you to consider that the only way we can honestly believe that God could say that about us is if we are spending time communing with him. That's the word that was found in Genesis. Consider also, not only is this a request based on friendship, but it's a request for others and not themselves. Notice it says in verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Notice he's not asking on his own behalf, but he's asking on the basis of the needs of someone else. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me. So this is a request for others in this prayer of importunity. But then notice also again in the end of verse 6 that we just read, it's a request from desperation. I have nothing to set before him. I can't even go to the refrigerator and find some leftover. I can't find anything. course, they didn't have refrigerators back then. I can't go to the, the bread box or the ice box or whatever. You notice here again, he's addressing the fact that he is desperate for an answer. Notice it says in Matthew 15 for another illustration of this. Matthew 15. So it's a request. Importunity is a request from desperation. I have nothing. So Matthew 15 here, notice verses 21 and following. So this is the Canaanite woman. It says here in verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Lord, have mercy on me. I believe she's crying out because others know about this request and are even annoyed by some of this. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Notice she was possessed and oppressed by a demonic spirit. But he answered her not a word. Notice Jesus doesn't answer. And it says, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So you notice again, it wasn't just Jesus who heard this. The other disciples heard this as well. And they were annoyed by it. She's crying out after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Notice this cry of desperation here. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Again, she's making this request on the basis of her daughter. Notice it says here, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which shall fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. But again, this cry of desperation, Lord, help me. Also back in Luke 11, notice something else here about importunity. Importunity in prayer continues asking until receiving an answer. It continues to ask until the answer is received. Notice it says in verses 7 and 8 once again. All right, so again, he says, I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, not just on the basis of friendship, yet because of his, here's our word again, importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Notice again, continuing to ask until the answer is received. Again, another example in Luke 18. I know we've seen this in another context, but I want you to see this again here. Again, importunity continues asking until the answer is received. Luke 18, verse 1. Says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Fainting speaks of quitting. Being discouraged to the point where just don't continue praying. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow, notice this, troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now I believe what the Lord is saying here is, if God is going to do this, or I'm sorry, if an unjust judge is going to do this, how much more will God respond? Because he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. But you notice it says, notice the word is not immediately. That's what we're talking about here. Having enough importunity in prayer that we continue to go, we continue to go, we continue to go. But notice here the word is speedily. That when God does answer, then speedily it takes place. Nevertheless, here's the key. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. There's the key of why we lack importunity in prayer. We lack faith. Again, do we have the faith to continue asking until we receive? Do we have the faith to continue praying even when there's a delay? Notice verses 9 and 10 then of Luke 11. Importunity believes God will keep his promises. I want you to notice the promise that Jesus gives here in verses 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, that's all inclusive, correct? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, here's what we don't necessarily see in the English in verse 9. The word ask is a Greek word that is in a continuous sense. The word seek is based on a Greek word that is a continuous action. The word knock is a Greek word that speaks of continuous action. So notice what Jesus is saying here. Continue asking, continue seeking, continue knocking. Notice you continue to ask, you continue to seek, you continue to knock until the answer comes. Because it says again in verse 10, for everyone that asketh, and again, continuous action is what it's talking about here. For everyone that asketh will receive an answer. He that seeketh will find. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. But again, the key is not doubting God so that I continue praying until his promised answer comes. So again, importunity believes that God will keep his promises. By the way, the only way we know his promises is to be in this book. That's what I believe is the key to prayer. Knowing what the Bible says so that we can say, Lord, this is what you said. You said to do this. You said to pray this. You said that you promised to do such and such. Taking God's word. Does God forget? No, we need the reminder that God said something so that I will believe that he will do it. Now, verse 11 through 13 then, notice, importunity believes that God wants to give his best. Here's a key. Again, we notice in this passage it's based on friendship. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, I want you to think about it. Friends trust one another, right? At least they're supposed to. I want you to consider here that importunity believes that God wants to give his best. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father. So, fathers, I want you to think about this. Your child comes to you and says, Dad, can I have some bread? I'm hungry. Will he give him a stone? Because, you know, after all, he's not Jesus. He can't turn that stone to bread. So is he going to give him a stone? So I want you to keep being hungry. I want you to consider every good father would say, here's some bread. And I'll even give you some butter. I might even give you some jam for it. Did you notice here? But if a son, a child, asks bread, will that father give him a stone and let him continue being hungry? That's another illustration Jesus gives here. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? So he's asking for a fish because, you know, he likes fish. And so instead of getting a fish, he gives him a poisonous serpent. Now, a good father is not going to give a poisonous serpent to him unless he's wanting to go ahead and make sure he's not a troublesome son anymore. You notice here again, this poisonous serpent. No, a good father is going to give a fish instead of a serpent. So again, another illustration. He says, or if he shall ask an egg, shall he offer him a scorpion? So he gets stung. Again, the implication here is a good father is going to give good gifts. I want you to notice what Jesus is saying here by implication. Your Father in heaven is a good father. At the beginning of verse 13, he's saying, God wants to give us good gifts. If ye then being evil or sinful by nature, know how to give good gifts unto your children. So a sinful father will give good gifts to their children. With that said, notice John 1:17. James even emphasizes this. In this passage, James 1, verse 17, why is it that because of circumstances we doubt God's goodness? There are so many that will do that. Because you notice it says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. So much for Christmas with that. You know, oh, Dad, Mom, when you think about it, every good gift and every perfect gift is from God Himself. Notice it comes down from He's described as the Father of lights. And notice there's no variables, neither shadow of turning. God is immutable. He is unchanging. But again, what you notice here, God wants to give good gifts. And let me just read this real quick here, back in Luke 11:13, because then I want for us to look at a couple of passages in Romans, a couple of sections of Romans 8. But then it's interesting. Luke actually has a different emphasis than Matthew's reporting of this. Jesus here says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Instead of saying, like Matthew, "How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts?" You notice here Jesus says, "The heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him." I believe there's a reason why He says that. Notice with me, Romans chapter 8. It's because the Holy Spirit is the one who, according to the will of God, is the one who interprets this request. I want you to see that here in verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Again, importunity believes that God wants to give His best, and in that context, we see that God, the Holy Spirit, works on our behalf. It says here in verses 26 and 27, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." How many of you have infirmities? "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Have you ever gotten down on your knees in a desperate situation? It's, "Lord, I don't even know how to begin asking about this." Notice, we don't know in many cases what we should pray for as we ought. And I want you to think about this. In many cases, we think we know how we should be praying about a situation, and we don't really know. Because you notice here, "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." That's not tongues, by the way, in some heavenly prayer language. That's the groanings of the Spirit Himself. Now, verse 27. "And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, what I believe happens, I've said this before, but what I believe happens when we pray is the Holy Spirit takes our requests to the Heavenly Father and says, "This is what He really needs. This is God's will." So again, we see that the Holy Spirit works on our behalf as we make the request. Now, as far as God wanting to give us good things, I want you to notice here it says, verse 31, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Of course, in the context here of being more than conquerors, Romans 8, 31, it says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Now, verse 32 is what I want you to see here. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" What's Paul saying there? If God the Father is going to allow His Son to be sacrificed on the cross for us, you don't think He's going to give us everything we need? I mean, He gave His all. He gave His best as He gave His Son to die on the cross for us. Believe that God wants to give His best. Now, as we close this out, I want you to notice Genesis 32 for an example of importunity. I just read this here recently. My own Bible reading time. Genesis 32, and of course, Jacob is in a serious situation. And even related to, this is not just about him. Because Esau, if he's angry enough, he'll destroy all of his wives, his children, everything. I want you to consider here that this is the first time Jacob and Esau are meeting. I believe it's 20 years, if I remember correctly. Verse 24. "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And of course, as we see, compare Scripture with Scripture, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this is a man wrestling with him. I really believe, as I read this, Jesus Christ pre-incarnate shows up and starts wrestling with him. Now, I want you to think about this. He's trying to get control of a man here. Jacob, the conniver, should be Israel, prince with God. It says in verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he, the Lord, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You notice here, Jacob is holding on for dear life. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. That's the Lord saying, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, notice this, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He might as well have admitted, I'm a con man, I'm a supplanter. That's what the name Jacob means, heel grabber. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, prince with God. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. The Lord is telling him here, you're going to get your request. God is working in Esau's heart. Again, brothers don't take 400 men with you, armed and ready to kill, unless you're ready to kill. Verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? I believe the Lord has a secret name that only he knows, as we compare Scripture to Scripture. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God. By the way, there's, you know, this man, Christ Jesus. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And of course, then he moves on and meets up with Esau. But you notice again here, he's wrestling and he's holding on until he gets the answer from the Lord. That's importunity. I want you to think about the importunity, the relationship that's necessary for us to be able to hold on to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to let go until you please answer my request. How much importunity does God see in our lives? So let me ask you, based on what Jesus said, how many times have we wearied God with our requests? Well, God's not answered after, you know, two times, so I'm done. I wonder how many things we've missed out on because we did not have importunity in prayer. Father, I pray that you'd help us to fully understand what that word means, as the Lord Jesus emphasized that in that parable. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have the friendship with you that you would desire. That, Father, you could answer on the basis of friendship. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd strengthen our prayer life. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.